This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. The Red Sox squeaked by the Tigers last night in Detroit, putting them one game closer to the World Series. Although Boston and Detroit are two of the oldest franchises in Major League Baseball, it's the first time they've faced each other in the playoffs. That could be due to the postseason absence of one team, Sox fans, and apparently the rest of the country, love to hate. The New York Yankees. This is only the second season in 19 years that the Bronx Bombers failed to make the playoffs. So what are baseball fans to do without their favorite targets of scorn? Brian Costa can help. He's national baseball writer for the Wall Street Journal and creator of the Major League Baseball Hateability Index. It's a tool for identifying which teams to root against during the playoffs and World Series. Brian, welcome.
Good morning.
Brian, I hope I got this right. This all came about because the Yankees did not make it into the postseason, and there's no one to hate more than the Yankees?
Yeah, well, you know, if you think about the role the Yankees have played for most baseball-watching Americans in the last 15 years, most times in the postseason, if your team is not in it, or if your team is playing the Yankees, most people could sort of find the Yankees as that team they want to root against. You know, nobody likes them because they spend a lot of money. Not nobody likes them. They have a huge fan base and many people love them. But of the people who don't love them, they're also probably the most hated. So they sort of filled that role as the big bad villain, and baseball doesn't really have that anymore.
Well, let's get to some of these highly scientific factors on your... your hateability index. Success, that's the number one factor for hateability.
Sure. Well, right. I mean, what you think about the type of things that people resent, you know, success is one of them. Spending a lot of money is another one of them. So we use some categories like that just to start off with, and then we went into some other a little more offbeat topics.
So some categories cited in the hateability index are nondescript, fat, furry mascots. What's so offensive about the furry mascots?
I think that it's more like style points than offensiveness. I think that, you know, the mascots that are the best are the ones that are sort of a reflection of the team in some sort of obvious way, or when you could tell what sort of creature that mascot is. And I think that what we see more of around baseball are these sort of big furry things that are sort of like big, colorful blobs that, you know, kids love because they're sort of big, cappy-looking things, but, you know, don't appear to have a whole lot to do with the team name. I know the Red Sox are adamant that Wally the Green Monster is a representation of the Green Monster, you know, but he's not a wall. You know, he's just sort of a big green creature. The Indians have something like that. The Rays have this weird fuzzy thing named Raymond. So we gave teams sort of style point demerits.
They also get demerits for excessive use of alternate jerseys. More style points here.
And this one actually works in the Red Sox favor because they don't do a lot of that. You know, they don't have like five different crazy uniforms they wear. But yeah, you know, I like the, you know, teams that limit the rotation. You know, I mean, you know, classic home and away, maybe one sort of alternate in there. But some of the teams now carry so many different colors and so many different kinds of jerseys. There was a game in Texas a few weeks ago where the Rangers and Angels both showed up wearing bright red. It looked terrible.
Well, this is something that the Cardinals, the Dodgers, and the Red Sox, since you've been slightly focusing on the home team here, received points for regularly referring to their fan base as nation, as if they've conquered the whole country. I guess we're guilty.
You know, when you say Red Sox Nation, I mean, it's one of those teams where, like, there actually is a pretty big national following. You know, the Red Sox travel really well. Their fan base, you can find them pretty much everywhere. But I think the term has gotten so prevalent that, like, you know, everything is the blah, blah, blah nation. It's like there's just not – I mean, I think the Pirates fans are great, but there's no Pirate Nation. You know what I mean? There's just not a nation of fans of every team out there.
Well, you know, I guess they're not really in play anymore. We can't hate them. They're not really –
No, you can't. You can't. And their fans actually were great, so I feel a little bit bad.
Let's talk about fans, because, you know, the sort of level of belligerence and offensiveness of fans is a big part of why you might hate a baseball team. Your category here, do fans invade other teams' ballparks? Tell us about the thinking that went into that criteria.
You know, I mean, if you're an opposing fan, right, and you're a fan of some you know, sad sack team in Chicago or Toronto or somewhere like that. You know, what makes it all the worse is when you're there, not only is this big, really good team, visiting team, beating your team, but they've got half the ballpark filled with their fans who are taking over your place, you know, calling it, you know, Fenway South or Fenway North. And, yeah, I think that, you know, for other people around the country, it adds to the sort of hateability. The Red Sox score very highly, I think, in that category. Their fans take over Camden Yards. They do well a lot of places.
Well, I'm really glad that Billy Beane did not take the job with the Red Sox, because we would have had another hateability point for executives played by Brad Pitt in a movie.
Yeah, you know, we tried to be just fair and across the board, but it just so happened that we could only find one that fit that category. So the Oakland A's scored a point against them. What makes a GM more hateable than the glamour that comes with being played by Brad Pitt, right? I mean, that's going to cause some resentment, maybe only from other GMs.
I guess this is all about envy and resentment in the end, isn't it?
It's right. And isn't that what the great national game is all about, is that we should be talking about this time of year, is bitterness and envy and resentment. So
Brian Costa, given your index, which teams left in the playoffs right now are highest on the hateability index?
The Dodgers. Dodgers are the West Coast Yankees now. So they are. They have sort of filled the void, although I do find the Dodgers to be a great sort of spectacle right now and a lot of fun to watch. But based on our index, you know, if there are people out there looking for some team to root against, I'd say the Dodgers would probably take the prize right now.
Well, you know, I'm not the only person who's been to a game at Fenway Park who has been a witness. The Yankees aren't even playing and everybody gets up and starts cheering Yankees, you know. I don't even know if we need anybody other than the Yankees. We can still hate them, even though they're not in the playoffs.
Spoken like a New Englander.
Brian, thanks for your help in sorting through this. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Take care.
Brian Costa is national baseball writer for the Wall Street Journal, and he created the journal's Major League Baseball Hateability Index, a highly scientific approach to figuring out who to hate in the Major League Baseball playoffs. Thank you for joining us today. If you missed anything or would like to share what you heard, visit wordofmouthradio.org. And before we go today, we have a request. We work on the idea that there is music for every mood or occasion. So we think the time is right to create a playlist for the partial government shutdown. We invite you to call our listener line and share the song that you find most fitting for the political impasse and resulting loss of work. You can call our listener line at 603-223-2448. We'd just like to hear your idea. You don't actually have to play the song. And we're not making light of hundreds of thousands of Americans facing another week without a paycheck. Just looking for a creative outlet for those of you who are feeling frustrated and powerless about the political theater playing out in Washington. So share your song or songs for our partial government shutdown playlist by calling 603-223-2448. We think the best stories are told by word of mouth, so please share yours. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 on New Hampshire Public Radio.